What really happens when you die? The answer to that and other questions on Key Life.
If you think laughter isn't spiritual, or that faithfulness to God means conformity to Christian stereotypes, then this program probably isn't for you. But if you're looking for honest, biblical answers to honest questions, welcome to Key Life. Here's our host, author, and seminary professor, Steve Brown, along with Pete Allenson from ForgeBibleStudy.com.
Thank you, Matthew. Hi, Pete.
Hey, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
I know, Pete. Here we are.
Here we are.
To dispense truth in
from Sinai.
That's exactly right.
Didn't anybody who believes that? By the way, we kid around a lot. We really believe this stuff, and we're sometimes wrong. So you got to be like the Berean Christians. You got to get your Bible out, and you got to check.
Mm-hmm.
And if you correct us, we'll change. But, you know, we're not going to hide from you. We're going to tell you what we have seen. And between us, we have a whole lot of years of doing this. So mostly, well, even that's arrogant. That sounds so self-righteous. Mostly we are right, though. We love getting your questions, even if we answer them wrong. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE. By the way, that's Pete Allenson. And go to ForgeTruth.com. If you haven't read his book, Like Father, Like Son, consider yourself uneducated. And you can get it wherever good books are sold. All right. When you ask a question, if you want to, you can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24/7, record your question, and sometimes we put them on the air in your voice. You can write to Key Life Network, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. In Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And if you can help us financially, all of those places are places where you could do that. We are a member of VCFA in the States and 4Cs in Canada. Both organizations ensure ethical financial practices. You can charge it on your credit card or just stuff a wad of dollars in an envelope and send it to. Actually, we take very seriously your gifts and your donations, and we're very careful how that's spent. We squeeze every dime for the glory of God. If you can't, we understand. Say a prayer for the ministry. And Pete, you say a prayer for the ministry, and we'll get to these questions.
All right. Father, we do pray for your glory to be revealed through this ministry and in the lives of your people. What a privilege to come to you at the end of the week and remember that you've been in charge and loving us every minute of every day. You are large and in charge. You are sovereign. You are kind and merciful and patient with us. You teach us because we're your children. You rescue us because we're your sheep. You look fondly upon us because you loved us before the foundation of the world. So, Lord, with all your great affection given to us in Christ, we ask that you would help us to revel in it and just rejoice that we belong to you. And that power of your grace would energize us every day. Be with us in the midst of our needs. And so many of us have needs right now that we could list off a long list of, Lord, for power, for wisdom, for forgiveness, for love, for job, for health. And we come to you, and we ask that you would meet us now in this time of Q&A. We ask that you would be glorified, and we commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pete, let's go to our phone lines.
What do you think heaven will be like for us 1 minute after we die and before we have our resurrected bodies?
Well, if you die and 1 minute later the resurrection of the body takes place, what you're asking is what happens in between times.
Mm-hmm.
I have not the foggiest idea, but that's built on a presupposition too. And the presupposition is that when you die, your body is buried, and God's going to fix that in the future when Jesus returns and put it all back together, and you'll have a resurrection body. That may not be true, mm-hmm. might be. And historically, that's how those questions are dealt with, that the spiritual part of you is present with God when you die, and that later on, 1 Corinthians 15, your body will be resurrected. And so we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. But what if when you die, it's a whole other world, and you move out of time and space where God is in eternity? And time things, like the question you asked, are not relevant. I mean, time stuff fits time and space if you're living in time
and
space.
That's right.
But if you're outside of it and everything's on a plane, it's another game altogether.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There seems to be some contradiction, and we know there aren't, because you get one, the dead in Christ will rise in 1 Corinthians. And then you, at the last trumpet, and then you get Jesus saying to the thief, today you're going to be with me in paradise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you say, wait, wait, wait. There's a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see there is. I think God is trying to teach in time language what it has nothing to do with time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. You know, that's surmise.
No,
I find it helpful.
It is. That's very... it's important for us to think globally, like you just helped us think, you know, that God is outside of time. And this is all much bigger than we grasp.
Oh, it is.
And so that's why all of what you said makes sense. It is true. The Bible does seem to speak in phenomenological language on a plane, in time, sequentially.
Yeah.
So that Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, he will bring with him those who have died in Jesus when he comes back. So the older theologians talked about the intermediate state.
And that's what the questioner was asking.
That's really what the questioner is bringing up. What's that going to be like? Some sense, if you think in terms of the intermediate state, then we're with him to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. We're with him. In your scheme of things, then we're with him in the real...
in reality.
Reality and eternity.
Yeah. And
with our bodies, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, all of that is one event rather than two events.
Right.
But again, you know, if God, who is infinite, is communicating to those who are finite, that would be us.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even do that. And so God has to get the fodder down low. And that's why Calvin called the Bible God's baby talk.
Mm-hmm.
It is a God who says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, mm-hmm. says the Lord. For mm-hmm. as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways,
mm-hmm.
and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fun to sit around and to talk about these things. It really is.
It is, absolutely.
But we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't get it. You got to have a high tolerance for ambiguity if you're going to be dealing with God.
That's right.
Because that's always going to be a part of what's going on.
What we can say is it's going to be glorious.
Yeah.
And it'll be more than you could ever imagine.
This is an email question. Why do you have a problem with people saying at funerals, well done, thou good and faithful servant?
Why do you?
Well,
that seems kind of narrow-minded, Dr.
Yeah,
Brown.
Yeah, it is. And I've offended more people than you have than you even know. I just don't think you can say that without an explanation, because when you say it at funerals, you misuse the story that Jesus told. And not only that, you're suggesting that they were good people and got to heaven that way.
Mm.
And everybody who's not good, that would be everybody sitting in the congregation at the funeral, they're going to say, and that would be everybody, by the way. Not everybody will say this, but everybody who knows what I said is true are going to say, I'm in serious trouble. And so they miss the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so when, well done, thou good and faithful servant, there are servants that are faithful.
Mm-hmm.
There are servants who do good things. There are servants that serve Christ in hard places. Of course there are. But that ain't enough to get them to heaven.
That's right.
And Jesus was talking about risk more than he was goodness.
Yeah.
But when you say that, immediately people think goodness. And they think, well, if I'm not good, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. I better be better than I've been.
Yeah.
And so they make all kinds of commitments, and then they fail, and they live without the gospel.
Yeah. So that's so powerful. I remember, sir, a funeral you and I did together. And you remember that one?
She never spoke to me after that.
Oh,
that is what you
man.
Do.
Well, the husband, he was a great guy. And everybody
he was.
Said,
I loved him.
And he said all these kinds of great things, and then you got up there and before I preached a little bit, you preached, and you said— He wasn't perfect.
Let me tell you what he would say if he were here.
And so that was really good. And that's needed at a funeral to remember, because we tend to make saints, canonize saints out of those who've died.
Where should a Christian relate to science? I grapple with the idea that creationism and evolution do not necessarily have to be at odds with one another.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I really like Hugh Ross, and we have listeners that don't, but I find Hugh very, and Foz Rana, Raina, at Reasons to Believe, to be quite cogent and together. He's not young Earth, but he believes in creation, and not creation through evolution, but literal, out of nothing, creation by the God of the universe.
Right.
And I can read Hugh Ross, and I think he's cogent and balanced. Go to reasons.org if you want to check on some of that, and I think you'll find it helpful. In fact, if you haven't been there, you'll find it absolutely mind-blowing. So, but, you know, that's way above this pay level of, you know, I don't get all that. I don't understand. I sit and listen to Hugh Ross and think, I have no idea what you just said. But if you're into it, check it out.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great encouragement. And I think they don't necessarily have to be contradictory, creationism and evolution. But you cannot be a Christian or a biblicist and believe in mechanistic, atheistic evolution.
That's true. So there, we got to go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.